Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It is July 23rd, 2014, and I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, where we're having a sunny day. And I'm going to get right to my guest because we have a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about organic and what it means, what it's like to be inside the organic process. My guests today are Diana Kay and James Hahn, husband and wife, and co-founders of their USDA-certified organic business, TerraSentials. They make some wonderful personal care products out of organic ingredients, many of which they grow themselves on their farm, others very carefully selected according to their very high standards, their personal standards. And I've been using some of their products lately, and they're absolutely wonderful, especially they have some that are fragrance-free and some that are scented with essential oils. And the fragrances are amazing. I've tried a lot of products over the years, but these have, they're fresh and clean and not overwhelming and simple. Like I have lemon soap that I have at my kitchen sink, and I'm washing my hair with their cool mint hair wash, and they're just refreshing and lovely to use. Just they are exceptional. Not that all other products are not, you know, there's many, many wonderful products, but this, these fragrances and just the way these products are put together are unusual and outstanding. Anyway, so I have both Diana and Jim on the line. Last time Diana's been on the show before, they were going to be on before, and James had to go do something on the farm. So today we're going to talk to Jim too. So hi, Diana and Jim.
Hi, Deborah. That was such an opening. I'm not sure that we could live up to that.
No.
But thank you. Well, that was awfully kind of you. And we're happy to hear that you were enjoying real organic products.
That's what we're going to be talking about today. What is a real organic product? I do want to say that you've been doing your business since 1992, so you've been doing this for a long time. So why don't you start out, just tell us a little bit about how you came to do your business and become organic farmers.
Go ahead, Diana.
Sure. Well, really, our journey into the world of organics started with my personal experience with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in an urgent situation that didn't really leave me with a lot of time to evaluate treatment options. It was very aggressive. It happened very quickly, and I ended up doing experimental chemotherapy, which, talk about an experiment. So Jim knew me before the pre-cancer, pre-chemo, and saw what I went through, and then, you know, was firsthand was right there with me and dealing with the aftermath. And the chemo that I dealt with was an experimental protocol on that. Because my cancer was so aggressive, they did double the dose in half the time. And it really took a huge toll on my body. And my body reacted by becoming extremely sensitive to synthetic chemicals. And I became a very reactive person after the chemo. I would have problems breathing, migraine headaches, bizarre rashes, and we didn't know what was going on. And the doctors, conventional Western medicine, the answer often is, well, here's one drug, and if you have a side effect, let us give you another drug to treat that. And so it ended up that they said that they were able to arrest the growth of this aggressive tumor that I had, but I had a whole host of drugs they wanted me to continue to take to treat all of these problems that had developed. And again, many of the drugs were to treat side effects. And I was having a hard time with all of these drugs and dealing with it at age 29. And the doctors really said, well, your option is you're going to have to learn to live with it. And that was unacceptable to me and Jim. So we began researching what happened to me, how I got the cancer, what was causing me to have these strange reactions. I essentially was chemically sensitive, and So we didn't, at the time there was no internet, so this was a lot of research done via through the Library of Congress. We lived in Washington, D.C. at the time, university libraries, looking at lots of things on microfiche, microfilm.
I remember those days. I was doing it too.
I bet. Yeah, so it was very tedious, and it took us several years, but what we essentially learned was that in order for me to regain my health and give my body a chance to rebuild itself, we were going to have to find the purest possible fuel for our bodies, because Jim was joining me with this. So that meant pure organic foods. We began using distilled water, and we learned also about skin absorption and inhalation. Our previous backgrounds because going into this business, Jim is a registered architect, and my background was design. In fact, we met working for an architectural firm in D.C. So we actually took courses in non-toxic building design, designing for handicapped individuals, and in this particular case, it was also individuals who were handicapped or disabled due to exposures to chemicals and building supplies.
Mm-hmm.
So the more we learned, the more we realized that we had to make a lot of changes. We did. We couldn't find personal care products anywhere. We searched health food stores that we could find that met our standards, which would be free from synthetic detergents, synthetic emulsifiers, synthetic fragrances, synthetic preservatives, and on and on and on. And so we began making some products for ourselves. And at the time, I was involved with some chemical sensitivity support groups and a lymphoma support group. And people there were in different parts of the country were saying the same thing. We can't find clean products. And we realized that there was a need. And that is how our business, which started as a mail order catalog, and we offered a lot of books in our catalog at that time, again, because there wasn't an internet, to help educate people about what they could do to reduce their toxic exposures and offering them alternative products. We found that we wanted to get out of the city, escape Arlington, Virginia, and D.C. because of all the pollution there, and we realized that to do our business, we didn't need to be in the city, and we wanted to be able to grow organically some herbs. So we looked for several years and found an old sheep farm in Maryland, and we've been here for 18 years. And our business progressed from selling plants to dealing with the increased demand for our personal care products, which today is really what we do. And we actually grow herbs for our experimenting and to create new products, but our demand is such that we actually buy today our herbs from certified organic farms from all over the world, our herbs and oils and butters. And that's kind of where we are right now.
Well, that's a wonderful story and very similar to my own in terms of starting out because of the damage that my body had to from chemicals exposures as yours did. It's interesting that you ended up having cancer and chemical sensitivities, because I think that most people don't realize how much of cancer is associated actually with exposure to toxic chemicals, and that there's all this attention on the cure, but not so much on the prevention. And so I just want to really emphasize that part of your story, that if you're concerned about cancer or you want to recover from cancer, the first thing to do is remove toxic chemicals that cause cancer from your life.
Deborah, that is the most important point. One of the things I didn't mention, and I'm so glad you touched on it, is exactly that in our course of figuring out what happened to me, we discovered that I had many toxic exposures in my life, and yes, that most likely I was sensitive to different chemicals, but didn't know it and didn't understand what was happening to me. So the ultimate end result was that I had chemical overload, which ended up in the aggressive non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which now has been linked to chemical exposures.
We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Jim and Diana about their experience with organic farming and being certified to be USDA organic certified. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guests today are Diana Kay and James Hahn from Terra Essentials, and their website is terraessentials.com, T-E-R-R-E, like Terra, but with an E, and then Essentials, the word Essentials, E-S-S-E-N-T-I-A-L-S, so that it connects with the E, T-E-R-R-E, S-S-E-N-T-I-A-L-S, terraessentials.com. You can also just go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and see the listing for their show, the show today, and it's got a link to their website. So tell us now, you got an organic farm, and then you started with the organic certification process. Well, but wait, first let me ask you, you've said at the beginning that now, having tried your products, that I have an experience of what real organic is. Well, so what would be not real organic? Tell us about that difference.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, basically what it comes down to is, well, if we're talking about food, the word organic is regulated by the USDA, and the Organic Foods Production Act spells out a whole set of rules and regulations to be followed. In our particular field, body care products, the USDA says we don't feel that, how would you say it, Diana? We don't feel that we need to enforce the regulations.
Right. They're saying the USDA has pronounced years ago that personal care product companies are free to get certified to the federal organic regulations, which is known to everyone as the National Organic Program. However, they have said that they don't feel that they need to enforce the National Organic Program regulations in the personal care marketplace, which...
Well, what does that mean? In practice, what does that mean?
Well, it means that if a company is not certified to the USDA Organic National Program by a legally accredited organic certifier and doesn't have an organic certificate, then they are not organic. And the sad thing is, the majority of companies that we have seen in the personal care marketplace that claim to be organic are not certified by a third-party accredited certification agency, and they are making claims, but these are unsubstantiated and unverified claims. And Jim and I find this really disheartening because consumers, many of them don't understand the National Organic Program regulations. Many consumers are completely unaware that the rules are not being enforced in the market, the personal care marketplace. And what happens is that people trust that the word organic means something in personal care, and they will often pay significantly more money for products that make an organic claim, often very boldly on the front label of the product or on, you know, the homepage of the website, and yet the product formulation is actually conventional synthetic industrial cosmetic ingredients, not meeting the qualifications for organic certification in any way.
So let me get this right. So people are putting the word organic on the label, but then it's not just that they are organic and they're not certified. It's that they're not even organic.
That's correct.
Yes, many products.
That's correct. And one thing we've noticed is that a lot of journalists and writers who are talking about organic issues appear to be completely unaware of this. And we see articles that say, when you see the word organic, that means it follows the USDA regulations and 95% of the content is organic. And as Diana says, it doesn't apply to everything. That applies only to food. And that is so seldom brought out.
So the USDA organic program is only monitoring in the world of food and not in the world of personal care.
That is what we have seen. They said that if someone files a complaint, they'll look into it, but they are not actively monitoring the personal care marketplace, which the thing that this is what we find so sad is that there are many companies selling products over the internet. But there are still, and over the years, there had been a number of companies that were selling via the health food store channels and even mainstream grocery store channels. And these companies for years were, you know, using the word organic with abandon. However, the Organic Consumers Association really called out this misrepresentation and got a lot of media attention to expose this practice. And as a result of that, there have been several class action lawsuits in the personal care marketplace. But the number of companies that have been named in these lawsuits has been very few companies out of the many, many companies that are out there. So basically what's happening is the enforcement is now being left up to attorneys rather than the regulatory body of the USDA. And we find that really sad and extremely frustrating because, you know, we constantly hear from people who are so proud that, you know, they are taking steps to help improve their health and reduce their chemical load and to leave a lighter footprint on the planet. And we've actually had people come into our store and bring a little shopping bag from the organic salon and saying, oh, you know, I just got this organic shampoo. And, you know, so it puts us in an awkward position because, you know, we want to help educate and inform the public. And many times when we do that, it's the whole don't shoot the messenger thing. Please don't shoot us.
I understand.
Right. If we take that bottle and we turn it around and we, you know, look up on the computer the ingredient, we have often had people get really angry with us. And we understand what's happening, but they get angry because we pointed out, unfortunately, that they got duped. And later, perhaps, they resolved that situation. But it, we would rather talk about beautiful organic ingredients and you know, the impact of organic agriculture. But too many times we have to deal with re-educating people and informing them about this labeling issue.
Well, we'll talk more about this when we come back from the break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guests today are Diana Kay and James Hahn from Terra Essentials. You can go to their website at terraessentials.com, and we'll be back to talk more about what's really organic and organic certification and how you can choose the best organic personal care products. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guests today are Diana Kay and James Hahn, husband and wife, co-founders of their USDA-certified organic business, Terra Essentials. Now, I do want to hear about organic certification, but I want to ask you another question first. are the ingredients in your products, I know that that every ingredient in your product is USDA-certified organic, but is there, in the personal care world, the equivalent of, like, there being a certified organic product? Like, I know with food that there's different amounts of percentages of organic that need to be in the food product in order to get the USDA seal. Is there a comparable program like that for USDA in the personal care products?
It's exactly the same program. In fact, there is no separate program under the USDA for personal care products. So what that means is the ingredients that we use in our products basically are, they're food. They're things like organic cocoa butter, organic essential oils, organic extracts. They're made from plants. I mean, you wouldn't want to eat, say, soap, for example,
right.
but there are no industrial chemical inputs of any kind that go into our product. So
good.
It is the exact same standard for that applies to the products in the food products in the store of a pie or a drink or anything like that. Exactly the same set of standards.
Good. All right. So tell us about getting certified. What's that process like?
Well, could I back up just to clarify one thing? To you know, because we would like to make everything really crystal clear. Not every single ingredient in our product is a certified organic ingredient. here, for example, the way that the regulations are written, there you are required to use organic materials. However, it's not just the ingredients that are regulated. The regulations cover how ingredients are grown on the farm, how they're harvested, and here's the key important point, how they are processed or handled to make the finished product, whether it be pasta sauce or body lotion, whether it be bread or body cream. The processing rules determine, and the amount of ingredients in your product determine your degree of certification. There is a list called the National List of Prohibited and Allowed Substances, and everyone who is certified is required to adhere to that list. So they have rules for how you can process different raw materials, organic botanicals, for example. There are ingredients that are used in food, and here's an interesting point. For instance, baking soda is not an organic material. It is allowed because it's essential for the use in baked goods. Clays are used in food because they are used as filtering medium. And the clays, there are certain clays that are approved for use that are on this national list. It's very specific, and in order to make a use of the organic seal, the USDA seal on a product label, a front label, your product has to be 95% organic botanicals processed in accordance with the regulations, and the remaining 5% might be ingredients like baking soda or other ingredients that may not be organic or agricultural in origin, but are on the national list of approved substances.
I think this is a really, really important point. I'm glad that you brought it up because this is true for other kinds of products as well. I think that people, in a sense, see, how can I say this? Because I was just having this conversation with somebody this week about how organic applies to only the agricultural botanical part of a product. But a lot of products, like you mentioned, baked goods, they need to use something like baking soda. But that's strictly speaking not organic because it's not a botanical item.
Correct.
And that would be true. And that's why there, like I was trying to think of something that was 100% organic. Well, something that's 100% organic could be something like the mattress that I sleep on is 100% organic wool. It's
probably
got wool inside. Well,
according to the rules.
No, I was just going to jump in
and tell you just a little tidbit. People don't even understand. Even in the food world, for example, we have a lip protector where every single ingredient in that product is organic. However, if an apple was rinsed with a wash that contained hydrogen peroxide and water, that apple would no longer be 100% organic. That's how strict the rules are. And
okay,
if that apple...
Yeah. Okay.
So you couldn't even call your product 100% organic if one ingredient was washed with a rinse water that had hydrogen peroxide in
Although
it.
Although that particular apple could be called, quote-unquote, organic.
Absolutely.
And that's fine.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, the apple could be called organic because it was grown organically, right?
Yes.
But then in the processing, it was washed with hydrogen peroxide, so now the processing is not organic.
Correct. So it's kicked down from 100% organic to organic. It's complicated.
I'm glad that we're talking about this because there is this whole thing where I know that consumers say, well, I want it to be 100%. And in fact, somebody this week told me that they get more results when they run ads if it has the word 100% in it. It has those numbers, 100%, and that's the thing that people respond to in ads. And yet, I think that the USDA organic is correct for a product, for using the seal, because there's all these ways that it's not going to be 100%. And yet consumers have this idea. It needs to be 100%. But what else is in there if it's not 100%?
Exactly. And the truth of the matter is, in all product categories, whether personal care and or food, it is extremely rare to find a product that can be labeled 100% organic, because that is how strict our USDA rules are. And by the way, they are the most strict set of regulations of any country in the world.
By far. By far.
You know, I know that because I actually had someone on the show who is part of the committee that sets those standards. Like, it's the highest, I forgot what it's called, but it's the one that makes the list, the organization that makes the list. And we were talking about what goes on that list and how it gets, how they make those decisions. And I could see how strict it was. And I thought at the time, if every single product had that kind of program behind it, where the standards were that strict, it would completely change the marketplace. We need to go to break. Wouldn't that be fabulous if all products were made according to something akin to the USDA organic standards? Amazing. That would be amazing. When we come back, we're going to hear more about the USDA organic standards and see how wonderful they are. you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. My guests today are Diana Kay and James Hahn from Terra Essentials, and they're at terraessentials.com. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Vindad, and my guests today are Diana Kay and James Hahn, husband and wife and co-founders and owners of the USDA certified organic business Terra Essentials, where they make real organic personal care products. Diana and James, you know, I'm looking at the clock and we're, we're finally getting to talk about the
We get on these rolls and soapboxes, don't we?
No, but everything that we've been talking about is so important.
It is.
And I don't want to, let's just get started, because we only have like about 10 minutes before the show is over.
Okay.
And that's certainly not enough to talk about, the USDA certified organic program in full. So let's get started, and then we'll have another show and we'll talk more about it. We'll just do a show just on the certification program, and now that we've set it all up.
Oh boy!
What else would you like to say at this point?
Well, I think there's another thing that Jim and I were discussing. This happens every day with us. That there's something else that's happening in the personal care world. It's happening in the food world. But I'm going to point out what it is, and then we can kind of delve into the two different aspects, food versus personal care. In the personal care world, what we have seen that has been happening over the past 10 years is that the industry itself, in the United States and Europe, there are different manufacturers and their suppliers, and also their distribution partners have been getting together, and they have been creating their own set of organic, and I'm putting that in quotes, standards. These are not government standards. They are not standards that have been created with public input. They're not a law in any of these countries, and including this is happening in the United States. And we're very frustrated with this, because the National Organic Program federal law in the United States says that you may not have a standard that competes with the National Organic Program of the United States of America. And so we find it really frustrating, disheartening that these different industry groups are coming up with their own standards, and some of the products are now even saying certified to this standard, and the consumers have no idea. They're thoroughly confused. They, you know, we've talked to hundreds of people, and some of them think that these standards mean that that's the certifier, and it's not. It's such a confusing situation for people. And in the food world, that's the personal care. In the food world, the United States has made what's called a reciprocity agreement with the European Union. And the European Union standard, and we also, I'm sorry, have one now with Canada. the Canadian standard and the European Union organic standards are different in some ways from the U.S. standard. Ours is still the most strict. But due to international trade, they created this agreement, this reciprocity agreement that has been in effect since now 2011, actually since June of 2011, where the United States said, okay, we're going to accept any product that's been certified in the European Union as equal to a U.S. certified organic product in the spirit of international cooperation and trade. And we did the same thing for Canada. And in the food world, there are some differences in the food processing and handling, but most consumers aren't aware of this. But still, even in the food world, you're not going to have artificial flavor showing up in a product that comes from Europe, or artificial fragrance,
in other words,
a petrochemical fragrance, because no country allows artificial fragrance to be allowed in an organic product. Natural flavors is a whole other topic for a conversation another time. But in the personal care world, unfortunately, the processing standards allow many chemicals to be used in the processing that are prohibited under USDA regulations, preservatives to be used, which are prohibited under the USDA regulations. So essentially what we have in the personal care marketplace is a giant mess. And I just
so
wanted to add that because
I'm glad that you did. And it's so unfortunate that it's a mess, but as life evolves, I think we go from chaos to order. And so I'm hoping at some point it'll become more orderly and more understandable. But I think that change is happening. I remember I've been doing this since 1978 is when I first started. And so I lived in Northern California in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I remember when we first started having organic food and California certified organic farmers, I don't know when they started. But I remember that, you know, here's a certification. What do we do with this? What does it mean? You know, and now there's a lot of certifications for a lot of different things. But there was a time when there were a lot of local certifications, and then the USDA came along and said, we're going to have a national certification. And so there's one certification now instead of all these local ones. And so I think it's all progressing. And as much of a mess as it is right now, I think it's all moving in a direction. And having conversations like this moves it all forward. I'm listening to everything you're saying today, and I'm thinking this is much more complex than I even knew. And this is something I'm studying every day. And so I can imagine how much more confusing it would be for consumers. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday who actually owns a business selling non-toxic products, and she was saying, it's all so complex. I can't even, you know, I just want to go down to the store and buy a carton of eggs. And there's so many things that you need to think about, and we need to think about these things for every single product, and for every single product, it's different. And,
True. I feel the same way when I go to the grocery store. You know, I know I want free range, pasture raised, organic chicken eggs. You know, because you know I know I want the omega-3 fats, the good fats, not the omega-6s. You know, and I've looked into actually having chickens here on our farm. Although Jim keeps saying, "No, you don't have time to do that."
It's true.
I had chickens in my backyard, and it was fabulous. And I love the eggs, and it didn't take that much time. But
thank you. Thank you, Deborah.
It really is worth it. It really is worth it. Until the police came and took them away because they're illegal
what?
Where I live. Yes.
Oh.
My chickens were confiscated.
That's happening all across America, and I think that's going to be changing, too.
Chicken police.
I think so, too.
That's great. Chicken police.
It is chicken police.
Don't they have anything better to do?
No, but see, what here I'm going to tell you my big This is my vision, is that everybody in the world will come to have the same kind of values that you and I have, and that all the products on the shelves in the stores, everything that gets made and sold, will all be as organic and non-toxic as possible. And I think that day will come, because if you and I, both of you and I, have been watching this and helping this whole movement towards less toxic things grow and expand over the last 25, 30 years. And don't you see that it's happening, that we have more and more all the time?
Deborah, you could be me talking. I mean, that's why we do this, why we persist.
Me too.
You know, in despite the frustrations and that we have to deal with in the marketplace, because we have a vision. And, you know, we've been through that whole chemical sensitivity and cancer thing, and we know there's a better life. And so that's why we persist.
I might add that, you know, there's a lot more interest and growing interest all the time in organic products.
Yeah.
And one thing that has come along with that is that now there's a whole lot more corporate influence in the entire.
You know what? That's a whole other subject.
It sure is.
I'm going to let you start.
It sure is.
Because
we've
only got about 1.5 minutes left.
Right.
So in that 1.5 minutes, I'm going to just let you say just something very brief, just to wrap up whatever you'd like to say that you haven't said today without starting a new subject.
Okay. Well, I want to quickly throw this in. Deborah, Jim and I, your books were really very valuable and helping me seriously to survive. I'm not sure that I really would have survived the after effects of the chemotherapy and recovered if I hadn't had information like yours to help me. And
Thank
the work
you so
that
much.
You have done, the educational work, your persistence over the years has been tremendous and is so valuable. And we wanted to thank you for all the work that you've done, because it is such a necessary thing in today's world.
True.
Thank you. I just want to reach through the microphone and give you a hug.
I know.
I totally understand your dedication, and appreciate so much that if I didn't have businesses like yours to promote, I wouldn't have anything to do. I mean, it really is. So
I think you'd find something.
The music is gonna just...
you're a woman with of many missions, like
thank
me
you.
Too.
Thank you. Well, you know, I'm going to come up to Washington and see you someday.
Oh,
okay.
You should.
Yeah. But I have to go now. We have to get off the air because the music's going to start playing. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn. Dad, be well.
Take care.